Scripture this morning is from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. The coming of the Holy Spirit. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all gathered together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rushing of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. At this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each of them heard speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they ask, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judah, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Pyrrhea and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They're filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judah and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious days. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank our sister in Christ for helping us to continue in our time of worshiping God, focusing on Him, sensing His presence. Thank you. Would you join with me in prayer? We thank you, Lord, for your living word. Again, not simply ink on paper, not something that's dead, not something that's simply history, but rather a reminder that you continue to breathe new life into us, whether we're open to it or not. But when we're open to it, what a magical, wonderful, mysterious, powerful, awesome, and any other word, description that we can come up with, thing that happens. We truly are your people, and we are your church into the world. It's in the name of Christ that we pray it all. Amen. I also want to thank my sister in Christ and any other liturgists here that I call on regularly should thank her also, because she handled some of the most difficult passages to read, didn't she? All those towns, all those places, cities. The best liturgist or preacher in the world finds himself with a little bit of spit coming out on some of those. You can't help it. If you look in the back of a study Bible, or for that matter, most Bibles will have a couple of maps, and they'll have the journeys of Paul shown in them, okay? And then usually if they have one map of all the journeys, each journey has a different color line showing his first, second, third, all of his missionary journeys. Well, on that map, if you move from the furthest placed east to pretty far west, okay, on that map, you're going to be taking in a number of the places that are mentioned in this scripture. Now, these are not just simply names of towns that were thrown out for no particular reason. They were mentioned because in that particular part of this scripture, there's incredible power that is communicated. God has brought his people from all over the known world for this festival. And specifically for this festival in which they remember him giving them the law. The festival of the weeks, our storyteller. She's trying to look innocent, but she did a great job at Vacation Bible School. Our storyteller was telling the kids in the story room this whole past week about different festivals, and the Festival of Weeks was one of them. A celebration of the people of God whenever they were reminded that God would continue to be at work in them. Now you see, those laws that were given on Mount Sinai, those Ten Commandments, by the way, they aren't necessarily, if you feel like it, they are actual commandments to guide us in our lives. Those are not something that are restrictive, but rather they allow us to be even more attuned to God's nature. That's an important thought to have. How often have we prayed, Lord, just tell me what to do? How often have we prayed, Lord, I would just like to know what you would have me do in my life? Well, the Ten Commandments are a good starting point, because they remind us of the nature of God and how he seeks to be able to bring new life into the midst of his created ones and who are his created ones? All of us. So those commandments are not something that are meant to beat us over the head, but rather to lift us up and to be able to give us a reminder that God continues to speak to his people. We are a people whose identity begins and ends with God. Think about that. Our identity begins and ends with God. Just as the Israelites found that, Moses coming out of that mountain, scary place, all sorts of things happening. God speaking in sights and sounds, doing something that had never happened before. There are a lot of parallels and a lot of similarities to the scripture passage today with Mount Sinai. The Holy Spirit, however, is the one that is at work in a whole new way here. And we understand that the Holy Spirit blew in. They were probably inside. For those of you who have gaps in your RVs and things like that, where you kind of feel the wind going and sometimes it just kind of blows through, that you're kind of having your own little mini Pentecost. So be celebrating that, okay? Or the wind really kind of moves you around. Just think about that as a Pentecost. For us, you know, we think about that, and there's an image there. There's a very powerful thing that reminds us of God's glory. The Israelites at Mount Sinai, the early believers at Pentecost, God working in a very powerful way, God taking control of a situation, God in his power moving in a way that overwhelmed everyone present. And yet, we understand that Pentecost didn't stop on this day. You know, Some of us are wearing red today. If you aren't, that's okay. There's no door prizes. There's no discounts for wearing red today. Red is simply a symbol for the work of the Holy Spirit. It's a reminder of the work of the Holy Spirit and the power and how it changes and how it molds and how it brings us into a deeper understanding of the mystery of our Heavenly Father and our Creator. And Pentecost, you see, continues to this very day. Earlier, we were speaking in different languages, weren't we? Briefly. In this particular story, people were speaking in different languages for a whole nother reason. This is not that ecstatic kind of speaking in tongues. I want you to be clear about that. Here, this is them actually speaking in a language of one of the pilgrims that were coming to town. And they were able to speak in that language, a Parthenian, for instance, and they were able to tell that person in their own language the good news of Jesus Christ. Makes a difference, doesn't it? That's why the Bible has been translated into all these different languages. That's kind of a Pentecostal movement that continues to this very day. People being able to understand the good news of salvation, of God offering them new life through Jesus Christ in their own words. It makes a difference. If we were trying to read a Bible that was printed in a language that we were unfamiliar with, we wouldn't understand. We wouldn't get very far. But when we read it in a language that we do understand or kind of understand, it soaks in. It speaks to us. That's what God was doing here. So that those who were gathered would understand, would be changed. We understand that there were mass transformations right at that very instant. But I'd like to go further. We have this powerful scene. We have this dramatic outpouring of God's Holy Spirit. We have people speaking in languages that they'd never spoken before. We have people sharing the good news. We have people coming into a relationship. We have people who are gathered in a home, and they're speaking in another language from another land. And we have individuals, pilgrims, they're sticking their head in and saying, "Are you talking to me? You're speaking my language. I can understand. What are you talking about? I want to learn more." We have all of those dramatic things happening. But I also want to point out that Pentecost is something that reminds us that not only does it happen to us as a church, it happens to us individually. God's Holy Spirit, and can I define it completely? No, I'm sorry. I can't. The Holy Spirit is called many things in Scripture, the advocate, the counselor, all sorts of things. And it means different things to different people at different times in their lives. But the Holy Spirit, nonetheless, is always, 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 always at work. I can remember a time when the Holy Spirit gathered individuals in my life together. Now, certainly, it wasn't as dramatic as this, but it was still a Pentecost movement for me personally. My father, in the hospital, dissecting aorta, the surgeon saying, "We'll see what we can do." When a surgeon says that, it's scary. Seemingly out of nowhere, parishioners from the church I was serving at that time started showing up at the waiting room. Now, do you know how powerful that is for a pastor? To have parishioners coming to visit him. I'm supposed to be the one visiting other people. And there were people gathering to support me and my family at that time. You see, that was it's a hospital waiting room back in Pittsburgh. It was not any sort of great, incredible, transformative thing in the name of the gospel, but it was a working of the Holy Spirit. It really was. And I was thinking about that as I was entering into today, thinking about Pentecost and how the Holy Spirit works. Whenever the people of God, in other words, are gathered to encourage one another, to share the good news, to support one another, to love one another as God has loved us. Whenever people do that, who are defined by God most of all and first of all, then Pentecost continues, and the Holy Spirit never stops working. Today, we celebrate Pentecost. We celebrate it in some special ways, not only by looking at the words that remind us of that Pentecost, that first Pentecost, but we also celebrate it by having a baptism. I ask Jim to come forward at this time, and also in the reception of new members. Our brother in Christ, Jim, is going to be joining the church as well. But before that, we have the celebration of baptism. And it's a wonderful thing to have you here. And we remember that first Pentecost, the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit. We remember it in the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit upon the waters of baptism. How it reminds us that God continues to be at work today. God continues to be at work in our hearts. God blesses this water as our brother in Christ is baptized. Jim, I ask, do you claim a saving relationship with God through Jesus Christ?
I do.
Do you open yourself to the work of God's Holy Spirit in your life?
I do.
And do you seek to follow your Heavenly Father in each and everything that you do and say? Jim, receive this water of baptism in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. You have been marked with the sign of the cross. You are truly defined by God as His child, and you are loved and filled by God, especially with His Holy Spirit. We welcome you into the family of faith. God's blessings.
Amen.
God's blessings. Stay up here. And I ask that Carl Haywood, Kay Haywood, and Roberta Adams come forward as we receive new members into our faith community at this time. Welcome, come on up. Nice to have you here. Welcome. Good to see you, man. Do each of you open yourself to the work of your Heavenly Father in your lives, through your actions and through your words? If so, please respond with, I do. Will you continue to be a witness of the resurrected Savior in what you say and do, and share that name of Christ in your actions and in your witness? If so, please respond with, I will. Will you open yourself to the working of the Holy Spirit and then follow that guidance to truly be God's people wherever He places you? And if so, please respond with, I will. We welcome you into this family of faith. Will all of you agree to support these brothers and sisters in Christ in your love, encouraging them, welcoming them specifically today, and promising to be with them on the journey? The church at the first Pentecost promised to do that, promised to gather. And we remember that Pentecost continues wherever we gather and wherever we focus and wherever we share God's love. Will you agree to share God's love with these people?
Yes.
Will you agree to share God's love with these people? I didn't think you were ready the first time, so I wanted to make sure. I kind of went on there. You weren't sure whenever I was going to stop, were you? So let's welcome our brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you. Thank you so much. Now, these folks are going to be getting their pictures taken also afterwards. I think they knew that. Some of them are not particularly happy about it. Remember, it's God's Spirit that's leading all of this. It's in room 8. And so if you want to go ahead and greet them afterwards too, they'll be meeting in room 8. I wanted to share a special thank you to Carl Haywood, because anybody who enjoyed the pulled pork and the brisket barbecue, he made it. He and Kay donated that at the end of Vacation Bible School. So they're good people to know and become friends with, okay? So all of our new members are, by the way. Welcome. Would you join with me in our call to discipleship? It's printed in our bulletins. Let us share together. You have given yourself to us, Lord. Now we give ourselves for others. You have sent your Holy Spirit and made us a gifted people. As people of Pentecost, we will serve you and proclaim your good news with joy. Your glory has filled our hearts. Help us to glorify you in all things. Amen. Our song of response is actually printed in our bulletins. I ask that you stand as you are able, and we'll be singing, "Open Our Eyes, Lord."